Today's part 17 without any further delay. Ephesians 1:17. This is from New King James Version Bible. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. One more time. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Beloved of God, it is very important to know that this is my prayer for you, for the church. Because this is Apostle Paul's prayer for the church. So I am the one who can cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers we talked about last week. Well, one of the things that I pray again and again for the church is that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. So, you know, when we pray and we ask God, I want you to notice that one of the first things that the Lord wants us to ask is to have the spirit of wisdom. Because wisdom is supreme. Wisdom is number one. Wisdom is Jesus Himself, really. But, you know, if you do not have the spirit of wisdom, you know, how can you really know the Lord? Because the spirit of wisdom, you know, is what allows you to really have a deep, intimate knowledge of who He is. Yes. Wisdom is the word Sophia. We learned that before. I taught you the word wisdom there is Sophia in the Greek. It means mental excellence in the highest sense. Mm-hmm. In the Greek. Mental excellence in the highest sense. So it's very important to have mental excellence in the highest sense, where you can have the ability to know the Lord precisely and correctly. And you need the spirit of wisdom to be able to know Him precisely and correctly. Amen, beloved of God. That way you will be safe as far as not being swayed by so many different winds of doctrines out there. You are able to have the spirit of wisdom to be able to rightly divide the word, so that you will not just take whatever things that's being spoken out there, and you just do not have the spirit of wisdom to see the spirit behind the words. You need to have the spirit of wisdom. Notice it's a spirit. Wisdom is a spirit. That means wisdom is not something that can be taught, like a grammar lessons or like a math lessons at school. Wisdom is a spirit. It's like it's something that is not taught. It's something that is caught. The spirit of wisdom here is more like is something that we rely on the Holy Spirit to see things from Jesus' perspective. Remember, wisdom is like enlightenment also. It enlightens the eyes of your heart so that you can see what you could not see before. And we need the Holy Spirit to do that, to have that spirit of wisdom. And the spirit of wisdom will always help you to see things from the eyes of Jesus Christ. You want to look at the challenges in your life, what's going on in your life, not from the human point of view. You want to look at it through the eyes of the spirit of wisdom. That means you look at it through the eyes of Jesus Himself over your situation. In the eyes of Jesus, there's no such a thing as a hopeless situation. So the moment you have a perception, wow, man, this situation, this condition in my body is hopeless. Or there's nothing that can be done for my body to be healed. Or these lying symptoms, I'm just going to accept it for the rest of my life here. Because everybody goes through this. It's hopeless. I'm going to be on medication for life. That kind of stuff. Then we are no longer walking in the spirit of wisdom. Because the spirit of wisdom allows you to look at your condition or whatever challenges that you're going through right now through the perspective, through the eyes of grace, through the eyes of Jesus Christ, who has finished the work, such that there is no hopelessness in your situation. Amen. That is the spirit of wisdom that God is talking about. Do you understand? And then it says the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That means it has to be a revelation that is so deeply ingrained in you that sometimes it's hard for you to explain it in words. Here, specifically here, is the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Wow! What is so important about the knowledge of God that Apostle Paul kept on asking again and again, that we all will have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. It's not even in the knowledge of the end times. Let's keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is all about the knowledge of Him. In the knowledge of Him. Okay, everybody got it, right? I know you have seen this verse so many times, but I hope today the Holy Spirit will shed additional light for you, because I believe it will get us into a place where it will be a deeper and deeper revelation that we will be really, really blessed here. Now look at the word knowledge there. The word knowledge there is the Greek word epignosis. It means precise and correct knowledge. Okay, so that word in the knowledge of Him is epignosis, precise and correct knowledge. So remember that Greek word, epignosis. Now we're going to cross-reference this to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Also from New King James Version Bible. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Same word. 2 Peter 1, 2. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Guess what the Greek word for the word knowledge there? Same word, epignosis, as what you saw just now in Ephesians 1:17. So this is a deep Bible study, okay? I'm doing some deep word study. That the word in the knowledge of Him is the same word that is used by Apostle Peter as well here. Now this is amazing. When you have both Apostle Peter and Apostle Paul talking about the exact same word, epignosis, the precise and correct knowledge of Him, we better listen. Because our grace and peace is dependent on how they can be multiplied in the knowledge, in the epignosis of God and of Jesus our Lord. Did you hear that? In other words, your prosperity, your good health, your harmonious family, the things that we care about, all these blessings that God wants us to have because He loves us so much, is in proportion to how well, or how deep, if you will, the spirit of wisdom and revelation that would grow in the epignosis, in the knowledge of Him. You have to contrast this word epignosis to the word gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S. Epignosis is the precise and correct knowledge. Now what about gnosis? Gnosis is the understanding of facts. So one is knowing with your head because you understand the facts, gnosis. The other one is the epignosis, which is the precise and correct knowledge. So when something is not working in our lives, like we feel like, how come the Bible says one thing and then I'm experiencing something that's totally different? Number one, God is not the variable. When something is not working in our lives according to what the Bible says, we need to come to the Holy Spirit and say, give me spirit of wisdom and revelation in the precise and correct knowledge of Him. Because once you have the precise and correct knowledge, you have the precise and the correct results. As long as I had the wrong perception of who He is in my life, that He is a God who is a harsh God, He is a God who will judge me, right? As long as I have that wrong perception of who He is, I had the wrong results in my life. And so in order for us to have the precise and correct results, we need to have the precise and correct knowledge of Him. And so we're going to find out who He is. Not what this person says or that person says. Let's find out from the Bible who God really is. Okay? So I'm going to prove everything from Scripture so you know this is not man's philosophy. I'm not giving you the Word of God based on men's wisdom, fair speeches that can deceive people. I give you the scriptural basis within the context of what the Bible is saying. In fact, Ephesians 1:17 and 2 Peter 1:2 just now, the Greek is amazingly precise. It's like, this got to be the Holy Spirit here. Because one is Apostle Paul, one is Apostle Peter. Right? For them to be writing the exact same thing, down to the word in knowledge is the exact same word. In knowledge. Some translation says, through the knowledge of Him. Well, look at the Greek word. It's not through, it's in. In the knowledge of Him. And both Apostle Paul and Apostle Peter use the exact same word. In epignosis. In epignosis. This has got to be the Holy Spirit that is letting us know the importance of knowing who God really is. So we're going to find out who God is, who He is from the Scripture. Okay? Kind of like a side note for Bible scholars who wants to study, the root word of epignosis is the verb root epigenosko. That's the verb. Epi, genosko, G-I-N-O-S-K-O. Epigenosko. One word. That's the verb. Now, epignosis is the noun, knowledge. Now, this is the verb, to know. Right? This is epigenosko. That's the root. You know what it means? To become thoroughly acquainted with, to know thoroughly. Wow. This is not just a head knowledge, folks. This is not the understanding of facts like Gnostics, like gnosis. This is epignosis. This is epignosis. This is to become thoroughly acquainted with, to know thoroughly. This is amazing. To know thoroughly. Here's another one. To know, to recognize by sight, hearing of certain signs, to perceive who a person is. That is the best definition of epigenosko that I want you to write down here. Okay, thoroughly acquainted with is good. But here's the best of all definition of epigenosko, the root of epignosis. To perceive who a person is. Write it down. If you haven't written it down, that's exactly the Greek definition of the root word of epignosis, which is epigenosko, is to perceive who a person is. Everybody got that? If you want to write it down or memorize in your heart, to perceive who a person is. Look at the word to perceive. That means something that you know from the heart. In other words, God does not have to show up in person for you to be able to touch Jesus like Apostle Peter could, right? He was able to touch Jesus and know Him in the flesh, if you will. But we no longer know Christ after the flesh. Though we know Him in the past, in the flesh, but from now on, from henceforth, knowing Him no more after the flesh. In other words, the highest epignosis, to have a precise and correct knowledge of God, is never physical. Never physical. It's always something that you perceive who a person is. That is epigenosko. To perceive who a person is. In other words, to really know God, you've got to know Him by faith. Mm-hmm. That's how you know Him. It's not by eyes. It's not by your physical eyes. Someday when Jesus returns, of course He will return in His physical glorified body. Right? But even when you see Jesus in His physical glorified body as the Son of David, likely ruling from Jerusalem, right? Because He's the promised Messiah for Israel. In order to know this Messiah, in order to know Him, you've got to perceive with your heart, by the help of the Holy Spirit, who can give you that spirit of wisdom and revelation for who He truly is, to perceive who a person is. How beautiful Jesus is, beyond the natural eyes can describe. How wonderful Yeshua, the Son of God, in the flesh the Son of David, but He is declared as the Son of God by God raising Him from the dead. How fathomless the beauty and the wisdom and the love and the power and the grace and the perfection of this human being. Jesus is a human being. He is 100% man. And He's also 100% God. That's the perfection of the Son of David. This man is like no other man. That if you have crying babies in this room right now, the moment the prince step in, the baby will all just quiet down. Not in fear, but in awe of His majesty, of His light, of the eminence of His presence. That is just beyond words. It has to be a revelation, right? Of the Holy Spirit, who this person is. Because epigenosko is to perceive who a person is. Now, here's the first definition of who God is. God is light. There are only two definitions of who God is in the Bible, right? So who is this person? Who is God? Number one, God is light. This is mentioned the first time, even before God is love. Many people know that God is love. But did you know that the first time, the first definition of God mentioned in the Bible is in 1 John 1, 5b. 1 John 1, 5b. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. That is the first definition of who God is, even before the definition that He is love. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5b. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. What does it mean, God is light? That means God is the Almighty God, and He is the one, right, who has the power, okay, to overcome whatever challenges that you have in your life. I want to let you know you have a powerful God. I want to let you know that He's not just a powerful God. He is light. So that is the first correct, precise, and correct knowledge of who He is. And He says, in Him is no darkness at all. That means light and darkness cannot coexist. Do you understand? Because it says, in Him is no darkness at all. That means God is pure, perfect light. There is no darkness at all in Him. God is light. He is perfectly powerful, and He is perfectly holy. He is perfectly righteous. That is who God is. He is perfectly holy, He is perfectly righteous, and He is perfectly almighty. That's why in the Old Covenant you see the display of God's holiness. Moses greeted God. God says, take off your sandals because the ground where you are standing is holy. Did you know that? In fact, it is so amazing. The holiness of God is just who He is. That's the first basic knowledge. Okay, the first basic knowledge of who God is that God is light in the fullness of His power and the fullness of His holiness. All right, and the Bible describes how in the book of Revelation, until this day, the four living creatures in the throne of God, they're worshiping God day and night, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Why? Because God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. Can you imagine from millennia past till millennia and millennia in the future, the four living creatures are still going to be worshiping God and saying, God, You are holy, 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 perfect, righteous in all His ways. That is who God is. That is the first definition of God. Now look at James 1:17. This is from the NIV Bible. It says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. That's another precise and correct knowledge that you need to have about God. Okay? It says, every good and perfect gift is from above. Do you have good things in your life? Do you have perfect things that's going on in your life? Well, the Bible says that comes from above. Coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. In other words, beloved of God, sickness, diseases, they're not from God. Because they're darkness. All good things, your good health, your good family, right? Harmonious relationships, you know, obedient children, children who are a blessing to you, or people that are a blessing to you. Do you think they all happen because of how good we are? They happen from above. They come down from above. The Father of the heavenly lights, it says, who does not change. That means God will never put sickness on anybody.
That's right.
God will never put sickness in anybody to teach them a lesson. Because the Bible says, who does not change like shifting shadows. That is the true characteristics of God. God wants you well. God wants you to be healthy. God wants you to be healed. God wants you to be whole. God wants you to be financially provided. God wants your family to be blessed. And the Bible says, He does not change like shifting shadows. This is His will. Because every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. This is amazing about who God is. The thing about God is, He used His power. He used His dominion for your good. He used His almightiness, if you will, to rain down, if you will, every good and perfect gift. But you have to come to the light. You cannot remain in darkness. You cannot continue, okay, to live in a life that is not pleasing to Him, that is not profitable for you. You have to come to the light. You have to draw near to the light. Because the Bible says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. In other words, God will never force His relationship on anyone. You don't want Him, He will not go say, well, I'm going to protect you no matter what. I'm still going to be giving this good gift to you anyway. Yes, He still rained the rain to give the crop for the righteous and the unrighteous. But man, talking about perfect gift, every good and perfect gift is for those who draw near to Him with a pure heart. God has every good and even perfect gift. How about having a perfect health? Is that a perfect gift?
Yes.
Yes. So draw near to Him. When you fail, don't run away from Him like I used to because of the wrong knowledge of Him, that He's angry with me and I better get this thing confess, and then He will accept me after I've done all things right, or I make it right, as if the blood of Jesus did not complete the work. I got to do something to make God to be well pleasing to me. Right? I had the wrong epignosis. It was not the precise and correct knowledge of Him. Now, look at another verse here. 1 Timothy 6 verse 16. This is from the New English Translation Bible. He alone possesses immortality and lives in unapproachable light, whom no human has ever seen or is able to see. To Him be honor and eternal power. Amen. Wow. This is another precise and correct knowledge of who God is. He is light. And look, 1 Timothy 6:16 from New English Translation Bible again. He alone possesses immortality and lives in unapproachable light, whom no human has ever seen or is able to see. I already told you, the greatest way to see the Lord is not with a human eyes. Someday when Jesus comes back and you can see Him physically. Yes, you can still see Him physically with your natural eyes. But to be able to have the epigenosko, to be able to perceive who a person is, it takes the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Because it says, no human has ever seen or is able to see Him. Well, what does that mean? There is no way that naturally I'm able to see Him who dwells in this unapproachable light except by the spirit of wisdom and revelation that will give me the precise and correct knowledge to perceive who He is as a person. I can see Him and know Him more and more by the help of the Holy Spirit. And that is the first definition of God is light. Now, the second definition of who God is love. That is mentioned later after 1 John 1:5b, where the scripture describes Him being the light. Knowing that He is light, knowing the holiness, the power of God, the basic knowledge of God, you are ready to know the deep things of God. You know what the deep things of God is? God is love. Because this is the second stage, the next stage of knowing who He is that God is love. The first stage is to know Him as a holy God. Because of the wrong religious teachings, this thing is backwards. We say, oh, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's a kindergarten Sunday school stuff. Now, if you want to advance in the knowledge of God, we got to know about the holiness of God. But according to scripture here, it's the other way around. To know God as light, that's actually the basic knowledge. We can grow, of course, deeper and deeper into that knowledge. But the real deep stuff, the second stage of knowing who He is knowing that God is love. So knowing God is love, knowing His grace, knowing His mercy is not kindergarten babe stuff. It is actually for the mature. And to prove to you that this is so deep, God is love is mentioned twice in the Bible. God is light is only mentioned one time in the entire Bible. That phrase, God is light. In other words, God wants you to know Him being love double more than even the cry of holy, 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 holy 24/7 by the four living creatures. It is the heart of God for you to know Him for who He is, that He said, I am love. And He said it twice. 1 John 4:8b, 1 John 4:16b. That is the deep knowledge, precise and correct knowledge of God that God emphasized two times, even more than the fact that He is powerful, the fact that He is holy. Is God wants you to know that I am love. You want to know the definition of love? 1 John 4:10. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Let me say it again. This is love, not that we love God. It's not about our love for Him, but that He loved us, the Bible says, and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. In other words, the true nature of God being love is found in the person of Jesus Christ and His finished work, where He atoned for our sins at the cross. That nail-pierced hand till this day is the proof of His love for you. That is deep. Don't think that that is shallow. Because remember, the basic thing is God is light. What is the second advanced thing? God is love. And God said it twice, more than God is light. In other words, understanding His true nature through the finished work of Jesus at the cross is the true deep things of God. The deep things of God is in the knowledge of His love. Because God is love.